Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie, LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station on this rainy after the election day. And I guess the rain is was a sign that things didn't go the way that we wanted them to go. But we gonna keep pushing and moving, just like our Atlanta Falcons have been doing over the last couple of weeks.
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
Yeah.
All right, well,
not yet.
All right. Well, that's the optimistic way to look at things. So we got to continue to believe. Got a great show for you. Lot to talk about. Sports is dominating as college basketball kicked off last night. My time of the year. And you want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 404-603-8770. Make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And if you want to check us out live, make sure you tune in to our Facebook Live, SRT Sports Talk Radio. And I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And I got both of my Memphis guys. Well, I hope y'all speaking today. Y'all talking. Okay.
Yeah, we talking.
You talk. Mad?
No, what's up,
okay,
bro?
I'll just make sure.
What will be mad about?
Did Tennessee beat Dallas?
And...
You remember, okay. He was boycotting the Cowboys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, G, you and Jay talking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the game.
Oh, okay, okay. No problem.
I don't have cable, so I couldn't see it.
Well, either way, I got my Memphis guys in the building, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. The sports superhero Hancock, what's up, homie?
What's up, big dog?
Ain't that shaking?
Well, back to be good to be back in the building.
There you go. There
back
you
in
go.
The building. What's up, Atlanta? What's up, crew?
What's up?
Ain't that shaking? And Jay Smooth, Tennessee Titans, baby.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Didn't see the game?
I didn't see it.
Marcus and Mariota looked good.
Yeah, I think, you know, Matt LaFleur, they had a bye week to get some things together. You know, they finally established that Deion Lewis is probably the lead back. So, Derrick Henry, I don't know.
He fumbles a lot.
Did you expect that?
No, I didn't. I expected it to be more of a, you know, running back by committee. And I thought he would have been a third down guy, and Derrick Henry would be that early downs guy.
But we always talk about Henry just being a straight line back. You know,
right.
He just never had enough wiggle to me to be a lead
back. Yeah.
And I think you have to be able to do some other things other than just power run. He's just like a power run. Yeah.
Got to get to the goal line to use him.
Yeah. Just one more thought. This is not an original thought, but this is what I heard, and which makes sense. He's the new LeGarrette Blount.
I can see that.
Okay. Yeah. That means he's going to go from team to team?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, Blount was the mercenary.
Yeah.
Like, he has 3 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
Not bad. He's the Robert Ory of the NFL.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Not a bad thing to be.
And of course, the man behind the glass and the voice you just heard is the executive producer of the show, G Money.
Yo.
There it is. And like I said, we got a great show. Shout out to all my Facebook guys, man. Tuning in and checking in. I see Marty done tuned in.
Marty.
Of course, E Powell. And of course, my main man Maceo and D Burke on Facebook Live as well. Hawks playing tonight. The New York Knicks are in town, so expect the New York crowd to be there. But we got some hot news coming up. Then we got the Falcons report at 7:30. And Rain Man is calling in about 7:43 to give his picks of the week. Then, of course, we got that playoff edition of the Power SRT Power 10. Second hour of the show, we got our Ballers and Busters and our roundtable discussion talking college football. And basically, we got a situation that could possibly happen, so we're going to talk about it. We're breaking down the Saints and the Rams game from this past week. And for your NBA entertainment, we're going to go ahead and put the question out there now, and we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. But who'd you take? Jamal Murray or Zach LaVine? It's going to be some heavy, heavy topics there. So with that being said, T, let's go ahead and get to some of this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
Scorching. He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News sponsored by our good old friends at the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best seafood in town, please go to the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia, where they serve and sell the best shrimp in town, and it is verified. Trust me when I tell you. All right, first story on the docket, and I'm gonna hold off. I'm just gonna let Han and maybe G talk about this first story. I'm going to kind of save mine for the second story. How about that? But either way, the Cowboys had a bye week, brought in a new receiver, brought in a new offensive line coach, and didn't look so well Monday night. And Jerry Jones has come out and say, well, Dak will get an extension. He's my quarterback. So, I just want to get your thoughts on all of what's going on with that. And to top it off, Dez Bryant signs with the New Orleans Saints, and they play Cowboys in a couple of weeks. All right, Han, you leading off, baby.
27th in yards passing. 1,660 yards for the year. 26th in completion percentage. 62.9%. 22nd in touchdowns, 10. 29th in passing yards per game, 208. Now, those numbers all go to one person, that's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
But it's bigger than him. Okay. It's just like Nino Brown said when he was in. It's bigger than Nino Brown.
Yeah, he did. His brother from the bank.
His brother from the bank. This all started in the beginning when you got rid of his only weapon on the outside. Now, true enough, Dez was not a valuable number one like he had been, but he was what you had. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes you have to take what you have. And what you had was at least a player that someone had to at least kind of game plan for. All right? So with Dak not being as accurate, that was going to play into it. And I know we're going to get into the Dez thing going to New Orleans, which I think is great because he's going to be around an accurate passer. But anyway, getting back to this way, the decision-making, especially now, this is Dak's third year?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. We should know when you're in the red zone, what's the most important thing? Not to turn the ball over, to at least come away with points. You already up 7-0. Could have gone up 2 scores, and you throw in the triple coverage, which was just unacceptable, inexcusable, stupid, to throw that ball to where he tried to force it in to Amari Cooper. Okay. And from then on, the game pretty much changed. He allowed Tennessee to get their footing, and then it was over. But you could have gone up 2 scores, put doubt in their mind, and probably with a 2-score lead, with the type of offense you have where you can grind out the clock and whatever, take time off the clock and make people play a little more desperate. That's what you look for. But you left them in the game with that. So anyway, getting back to the initial point, they put him behind the eight ball by not giving them weapons. And they admitted so, I think, this week, saying that they probably shouldn't have gotten up off of that off of Dez. But it's too late now anyway. But I would want to say that coaching would come in and change the things. What did we see with Jared Goff when he didn't have any coaching around him? He looked like a total bust.
Yep.
But as soon as they brought in an offensive-minded head coach who's able to make him successful, we saw some limitations from him this past week against the Saints. But the thing is, when you put him in a position to be successful, you build an offense around him that he can thrive in, he can succeed. I don't know if Dak is that.
Mm.
I didn't know if Dak was that coming out of Mississippi State. I thought Dak was more of was always going to be a backup quarterback anyway, if he made it. I didn't even see him being a starter in the NFL, if you watched his career at Mississippi State. So all this, it was right time, right situation. Gee, I have to give you props. You said Romo should have come back as soon as he was healthy, and hindsight being 2020, you were correct, because they might have made a run to get to that was the year.
And he was ready.
And he got back, but they decided to hitch their wagon to Dak. And I honestly don't think it's the right decision. I just do not see him as a starting quality quarterback in the NFL. He just is not. That's not what he is.
Public person.
So that's what I feel. And I feel that the Cowboys, like even Aikman said, it's time to rethink this thing and retool.
He said a little more than that.
Well, I'm being PC.
Okay. IG.
Well, Hancock, you made a nice segue for me, because I looked at my Facebook memories this morning. November 7th, 2016. And I quote, "The Cowboys should still start Romo when he's healthy." There, I said it. I was called a bad fan. I was called a not real fan. I was called a Dak Prescott hater.
Wow.
And I have been proven right, unfortunately. If I was proven wrong, so be it. But I was proven right. That, you know, coming out of Mississippi State, he ran the Dan Mullen, Tim Tebow offense. I didn't see him as a serious starter in the NFL, but this is what happens when people were so afraid that Romo was going to come in and mess it up. And because the Cowboys are winning these games, they're winning games because the offensive line was dominant and Ezekiel Elliott was making plays every single week. But because they won the games, the credit goes to the quarterback. So now you feel like you have to ride this hot hand, which I don't believe in. We've seen that this season with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So because the Cowboys fell for the hot hand fallacy, they're in this situation to where they feel like they have to pay Dak Prescott, but I really don't think they do. I think we've seen enough.
Wow.
It's time to look for a new quarterback. Maybe a new coach, but at least a new quarterback. I've seen enough from Dak Prescott.
Think about the NFL right now. People falling out of bed scoring and throwing for 300 yards. He's barely averaging 200. And, I mean, think about it. How many offenses are putting up 28, 30 points a game?
Yeah.
Throwing for 350.
It's a secret to this. You can just go to the fantasy league and see which quarterbacks are still available for that week. And that'll tell you.
He's on the waiver wire. Wow.
Ran over Wade's rank.
That's bad. Smooth, you got anything on that real quick?
Yeah, I'll just actually, piggyback on, what Hancock and G said. This is an offensively driven league. And if you ask me, it seems as if we have these same conversations about the Cowboys every year. Should Jason Garrett be fired? Is Dak Prescott good enough? What's happening with Zeke? Well, he's been there the entire year, but I think they're exactly where they should be. Defensively, if you're a Cowboys fan, I think you should be excited about that. Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence. Even I'm hearing that Byron Jones might be the best cornerback in the NFL. I don't know how true that is, but but defensively, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you have a lot to be excited about. And people forget about offensively, Travis Frederick, their all-pro center. him missing the entire year, I think that's probably been one of the more overlooked factors. Right. I think if he was there, you know, maybe that sort of aids in Dak Prescott's development. Maybe that helps out some, but I think they're exactly where they should be. And should they move on from Dak? Who knows? I mean, who else is out there? Jameis Winston, Blake Bortles. I mean, they're all about the same quarterback. So I just think you need to give this kid more time and to really figure out what he can be when you surround him with quality pieces.
I think we sold it. I mean, just a Mississippi State, he's a college quarterback.
Yeah.
Hands is all in with it.
Yeah, he just ready to dump him, throw him in the trash.
Hey, second story on the docket. College basketball started last night, and the State Farm Classic played in Indiana. And Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky played last night. Han, your thoughts on what you saw or what you read? Or
well, what I saw is we have now a new Fab Five, basically. And I also, this kind of gives credence to what I said about what Krzyzewski's done. Krzyzewski was kind of tardy to the party about taking one and dones, but when he decided to do it, he said, let me show you how it's really done. And he's taken what Calipari did and just, he's kind of like done it times 10, because he's able to take these freshmen and not only just, like Calipari was preparing them for pro basketball. Krzyzewski has brought them in and taught them how to play in a Duke system and how he's taken the rules of the three-point and whatever, and has used that athleticism and blended it. And he's building a dynasty with one-and-done players now. He used to do it, like, bring them in, and they still have a couple of upperclassmen that they'll teach them the Duke way and whatever. Like you always say, they make them not be able to drive. They had to ride, whatever.
Right.
Whatever he does, it's working. But he changed the way he recruited. He started to recruit the best players, and now he's putting them in his system, and they're still thriving. So I think that's the best thing I've seen about what he does. But as far as this team, the difference between this team and the Fab Five is that the Fab Five came into school and they didn't initially start as the Fab Five. It kind of came into fruition. You know, these other two, Jimmy Jackson and what was the other kid's name?
Ray King
kind of came.
Jimmy King and Ray Jackson.
Yeah, that's them. Once they blended together, they became the Fab Five. You know, you had Chris and Juwan and Jalen, they were a given.
Right.
That they were going to play. But the other two kind of came on and said, hey, you got to start them off. And I think the expectations weren't there. From the start, the expectations are heaped on these kids. But I think now with basketball being what it is, that you don't have to go up against the Jimmy Jackson-led teams of, where was he, Indiana? I mean, at Ohio State? Where
yeah, Jimmy Jackson, yep. Yeah.
When he played against those times, they had teams then that had upperclassmen. So those teams, you know, beat the Fab Five early, but as the year went on, they got better. But with these youthful teams all over the United States, as good as they are, I don't know who's going to beat them. And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe some of these mid-major, like, you know, schools that have kids that have played there and they had a cohesiveness.
Right.
They'll give them some problems. But with everybody being young, but and not having those, you know, the way know how to play together, Duke is already ahead of the game. I don't see them losing no more than two or three games, if that, this year, to be honest with you. It's just the nature of what college basketball is. He has the best talent, the best coaching. Sky's the limit.
All right, Smooth.
What's crazy is when you actually think about it, the guy who was at Duke last year, Marvin Bagley, top five pick. He was actually supposed to be in on this team. But he reclassified as, you know, long story short. But it's amazing that...
You know he'll knock a lot of fans. That's why he's shaking his head. But anyway,
go. Hey, it's a good thing.
Right.
I don't have to see Marvin Bagley playing in the Dean Dome ever again.
Right. And what's more so amazing is that Duke's best three players are the top three projected players in the NBA draft. Zion, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett. They're all projected to go in the top three, bearing, you know, some massive collapse. I mean, anything could happen. But just to get back from a basketball standpoint, I think we have to give Trey Jones a lot of credit. And I sent you this article, H.O.,
right,
a few days ago, about how this whole thing came together.
Mm-hmm.
Coach K has an ability to sit in kids' living room. And if you're Trey Jones, he experienced this with his older brother.
Yep.
Coach K came to their home and he recruited his brother Tyus Jones. And he saw how Trey saw how the whole process worked. And from that point, he began to recruit Zion, Cam, RJ, and they had this whole group text, and it talks about how they sort of developed a camaraderie over years of rapport. And you know, I think it shows in their early chemistry. I mean, they've had some, you know, early games that they went up to Canada and other few games, but I tend to agree with Hancock. I don't know how you can stop this team. I think only they can stop themselves. So at this point, I won't call it a Golden State situation because, you know, in March, anything can happen. But it's going to be tough. I don't see – well, they might lose a game or two, but I would be surprised if they did not win the national championship.
So I'm going to start with the Kansas game. Dietrich Lawson, I don't know how he got
out of
Memphis. I didn't know how he got out of Memphis.
It's some politics with
him. Okay, so.
No, he was.
He showed up. Kansas is starting two freshmen in the backcourt, Grimes, and I can't remember another kid's name. But their perimeter is very, very good. Azabuka can't make free throws. He almost kind of cost him the game a little bit. But he's a big guy.
Coolidge.
Yeah, him.
White Shadow.
Exactly. That guy. Michigan State, I think they're going to get better throughout the season, and I think Kentucky will get better throughout the season. But now to the Duke. Coach K had hip surgery last year, a hip replacement, where he could not be with the team at the beginning of the season. He said in the interview that his team is 10 times more prepared at this time this year than last year because he was able to be with the team. Mm. Another thing is, two places you don't want to play Duke: Indianapolis and Minnesota. Mm. All of their championships that they won was either in those two cities.
Wow.
All right? Last night they played in Indiana. I don't know what it is about the state of Indiana, but they don't seemingly lose in Indiana.
Yeah.
And to foreshadow this, you know what the Final Four is this year? In Minnesota.
Wow.
I said it ain't gonna matter unless they play. Now, I do it Kansas with some. You gotta have people that I think with a little more age and a little more, you know,
right,
the continuity in their lineup like that. But if they play young teams, they're gonna beat them.
Yeah, and I agree. And they, for four freshmen, look, four turnovers for the whole game, and Trey Jones had zero turnover. And it's just 118 points. They didn't even run plays.
Yeah.
They did not even run plays last night. Yeah. That's crazy. So we're going to get a chance to talk about that a little more. But story number three, got to ask G this. your boy's back. Say he's going back to high school to play his senior year. G, I just want to get your thoughts on LaMelo or the Ball Clan going back to allowing LaMelo to play high school basketball.
Well, you would think that because he wants to go back to high school, that he wants to and a lot of people would see that the high school experience was kind of taken away from him, or he pushed it away.
Right.
But now he gets to go back to high school and have that experience of being a senior in high school.
Right.
For anyone who's played sports in high school and went your senior year and, you know, you had all the talent, you had the notoriety, whether local or national, whatever, that was a good time for you.
Yep.
And he's gotten to see the world and, you know, he's gotten to do a lot of things. But now he can just go back to being a regular 17-year-old kid for at least another year. So I think that's what, that's the most positive thing I take from it. And it's good that he gets to have that experience, and it may, I don't know if it's going to change his mentality or anything like that, anything going forward, but he will still have that experience at least of finishing high school, of having his senior year as a high school basketball player. And then going from there, because apparently he didn't get compensated anything for playing in Lithuania or in the JBA, he could still play college basketball if the one and done rule isn't abolished.
So do you think he's going to play college basketball? You think he's going to go this new, what is this, G League route, this new thing?
Two-way guy.
The two-way route. You think he's going to actually go to college, or you think he's going to go to the G League way?
If he goes to the G League, then it's just about money,
right?
Which he kind of doesn't need right now. And he's a lot better than LiAngelo. So LiAngelo kind of has to go to the G League, or it's G League or bust for him. For LaMelo, he can go anywhere. He's probably not going to UCLA, but he can go to college anywhere he wants to go.
All right. Story number four, real quick, hand, you and Smooth can handle this one. If Le'Veon Bell comes back to Pittsburgh, what are you doing with James Conner? I start with Smooth first on this.
Well, for me, selfishly, I do have James Conner on a couple fantasy teams. So, but realistically, in real life, James Conner has played well enough, and he's deserving of the spot that he's earned. I truly feel that he's earned everything that he's getting right now. If you look at it from a statistical standpoint, he's on pace to surpass Le'Veon's stat line from last year. He already has matched Le'Veon's total number of touchdowns from last year. He's one short.
One short, okay.
So he will surpass Le'Veon at some point. But if you're Le'Veon, I think the problem is that the entire locker room has given up on Le'Veon. Like, when you hear those guys in the press conferences, when the media catches them just, before and during, after the game, the comments are pretty much, they're nonchalant. They're like, I don't care about Le'Veon. He's really not a factor anymore. Mike Tomlin has given up pretty much everyone in the organization. I think if you do bring Le'Veon back, to me, he's James Conner's backup. You don't know if he's in shape. Some things might have changed. Well, not too much offensively, but for me, James Conner is just deserving. He's earned, and I don't think you should take that away from him. I mean, even if you do bring, Eric Dickerson or, Jim Brown, whoever, he's done well, and he deserves a spot.
I have.
Well, I don't know what they should do with him, but I know I found out more information about Bell if he doesn't come back. He can sit out and still be a free agent next year. So, and it won't bother him. If they try to franchise him in the third year, they'll have to pay him in excess of $25 million for 1 year.
Wow.
So, I don't even think you have to worry about that. I don't think he comes back, because if you're going to, all the money they're talking about, he's losing. But if you're going to get a lump sum of $25 million, if they choose to try to franchise you, which they won't, they'll probably allow him to negotiate with other teams. He'll make his money. So, why? I don't think you're going to have this problem, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because reading what I'm reading, $25 million that Pittsburgh would have to come up with to franchise him, that's quarterback money. And I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to happen at all.
No.
And so
I think you're going to see more teams like use caution with using the franchise tag, like franchising a guy twice. If you don't come out with a deal then, it's just not going to happen. So I think teams are going to be more cautious with the franchise tag.
Right. Yeah. So this third year, it will cost them too much money.
Marty say trade James Conner to the Colts.
I think Conner will be there. For one thing, about what happens with him is that you don't have the off the field, the baggage of the marijuana stuff, and I'm sure that Le'Veon's in the program to be tested all the time and whatever, so that's part of it. And that's part of the reason why it's having so much problem with them signing. Well, they're using that as leverage also.
Exactly.
So
I got you. All right, man, let's go wrap up the hot news sponsored by our good old friends at the Big Easy Grill. When we come back, the Falcons got a new player, and we got somebody on the phone that's going to talk about it. The Falcons report is coming up with your main man, D-Dub. You're listening to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100 and srtradio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's The Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
Congratulations. How does it feel to be an All-American?
It's an honor, sir.
Congratulations. How does it feel to be an All-American?
Very good, sir.
Congratulations. How does it feel to be an All-American?
Very good, sir.
Congratulations. How do you feel?
I gotta pee.
I believe he said he had to go pee.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back at you, and it's that time. We got a guy on the phone that's, I guess, normally sober, normally, and he is the host of the Falcoholic Podcast, which they will probably do tonight at some point because we had some breaking news that happened. You can follow him on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and he's on the phone with us each every other week to talk about these dirty birds, the Falcons, with the Falcons Report. D-Dub, how you doing today, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We great. I know you're tuning up for your podcast tonight, so we're going to run through these questions real quickly here. The first thing you have to do is I do have to get you to grade the game that you saw this past Sunday here in Washington, D.C.
Hey, I tell you, that was one of the best performances we've seen this season. Maybe one of the best performances we've seen out of this complete Falcons team over the past 3 years. The offense was firing on all cylinders. That offensive line was absolutely banging it in the trenches. Ryan was on point in the passing game. And honestly, the defense, they stepped up when they needed to, held Washington to only 14 points in that game. I think you've got to give grades of A all around. They really, really impressed me in that game.
That's great. So this morning when you woke up, we had some good news coming on Twitter, I'm pretty sure. And the signing of Bruce Irvin, which everybody had kind of predicted. Give us an idea of what that kind of does for the Falcons' defense, other than the obvious.
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing is obviously this is a unit that struggles to get to the passer, and the Falcons made a big move in signing Irvin. He is you know, he's not necessarily a top-tier pass rusher, but he's somebody that each season, in general, has averaged between 6 to 10 sacks per year. And the big thing here is that he already knows what Dan Quinn wants to do on defense. He's played with him before. He loves Coach Quinn. Coach Quinn has a high amount of respect for him. So he is someone who can step in and immediately know what his role is on the defense. And that's a big deal. So he offers just a little bit more pass rushing depth on this defensive line. And honestly, I think, you know, he's also someone that can come in and with all the young guys we've got playing right now, he can offer a little bit more of a veteran presence, know what Dan Quinn is looking for, know what he wants out of that defensive line. So there's a lot of intangibles that come along with it, but obviously we want him here to get to the quarterback, and he can do that.
Could you possibly see Tack, Beasley, and Irvin in the game at the same time with either Beasley and Tack on one side and Irvin on the other?
Absolutely. You saw Quinn do that in Seattle. I think they used to call it their NASCAR package, where they had three more defensive end or linebacker sized guys out there to rush the passer on nickel downs, on third downs. I think we will see some variation of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we will see it immediately in this game coming up Sunday, but I do think we'll see it during the season at some point.
So with that being said, and on the phone at SRT Hotline, we do have our guy DW from the Falcoholic giving this Falcon report. Is this good news or bad news for Beasley?
You know, it's I don't think it's one or the other.
Okay.
And honestly, where Vic is at this point, I think he realizes he has to play better. And I don't think anyone is pulling punches with him where that's concerned. He needs to be pressuring the quarterback more consistently. This could potentially help him with that. And, you know, maybe by getting him off the field a little bit and getting some of those snaps, he can be fresher into games, into the third, fourth quarter. But honestly, you know, Beasley's future with the team is going to be determined solely based on what he does.
Gotcha. So I don't know if you noticed this Sunday, but there were no pass interference calls on the Falcons, and Alford was out. Is this a coincidence, or was this good defense?
Somehow I knew that was coming. You know, I will say, I've always been the defender of Alford. He has had a down year, and God knows that he is always good for at least one PI call per game.
Right.
I'll take the different angle. I thought Isaiah Oliver played really well in his first, you know, real start for the Falcons. And he did well in the duty he was asked to do. So I'm going to choose to look at it that way.
Okay.
Our second-round rookie stepping in and playing well. I hope Alfred gets healthy, and I hope he comes back and plays at a high level.
Right. I got you. So are we at the point now where we have to start thinking about apologizing to Sark?
If you haven't started, you should buy some chocolates and some roses, because this man is calling some fantastic games lately. What he did in Washington was almost embarrassing. You know, if you're with Washington's defensive coordinator, probably around the end of the third quarter, you're just signaling smoke signals. Please have mercy. Please have mercy.
Right.
And really, the only time a drive got shut down was when our rookie wide receiver ran the wrong route and it ended up in an interception. So I think Sark has been absolutely on point. And yeah, if you guys have been slamming him, anyone who has been slamming him, you probably need to get those apology letters ready.
There you go. All right, so we did see Sark kind of use the finally, and this is probably where my apology letter starts to come, starting to use the 1-2 punch of Coleman and Ito out of the backfield, getting them in space. With the production of those two guys and being as productive as they are as a tandem, we saw Sark struggle using Coleman and Freeman together, but he seemed to have a grasp on Ito and Coleman. Let's assume Freeman is healthy, just assuming that he's healthy, and he comes back. Is Freeman the 1-2 or the third back?
If you had all three of these guys right now,
right.
I still think as far as what they would do, I still think they would put him in as the first back. As far as what he deserves from a productivity standpoint, I think you could easily put him at two, and some would I would be sometimes comfortable with putting him third behind these guys.
Gotcha. Is there if there is a such thing, if there is a such stat as dropped interceptions, then I know who will be leading the league.
Oh, Desmond Trufant.
Exactly. So how would you describe his season so far this season?
He, Alford has had a down year. Now, it's easy to pick on a corner when you see that ball bounce out of his hands. And believe me, we have seen more than our fair share of that from Trufant. And honestly, a lot of the Falcons this year, we've seen quite a few dropped interceptions that honestly have ended up turning into like touchdown drives, I think, for the opposing team, unfortunately. But I thought Trufant did play much better in this last game. A lot of times with corners, it's the plays you don't see where they're really doing their job, shutting down a receiver, blanketing them in coverage that, as fans, we don't pay attention to that.
Right.
And he has played better. I think if the Falcons are going to go on a run, he has to play at this level or higher through the remainder of the season now.
Gotcha. And on the phone, we got our guy DW on the SRT hotline giving us this Falcon report. And when I looked at the box score Sunday, I saw Duke Riley led the team in tackles. And I got to ask you, was I reading that wrong? Was there some mistakes?
Well, from a snap count perspective, Foye Olakun actually got more snaps than him in the game. Okay. So I think they are limiting Duke's snaps, and I think it has helped him be more productive. In fact, Foye, I believe, played the mic a good bit of the game. So perhaps taking those responsibilities off of Duke lets him play faster and a little bit more loose. I actually thought he had a really, really good game on Sunday. So maybe the trick for Duke is just to limit his exposure and limit the number of times he's out on the field.
I agree. All right, so talk about the Falcons and what they need to do to keep this momentum going.
More of what you did Sunday. Let's keep doing that. Honestly, I think the big thing here is Washington had a really, really good defense coming into that game. And this game that we won against Washington was won in the trenches. Our offensive line absolutely dominated from beginning to end. And, that's a big, big deal, especially when you consider we lost two starters, both of our starting guards. Wes Schweitzer and Ben Garland are playing really well. The past two games, they've looked pretty good. So I think you got to give them a lot of credit, and I think that's where the games are going to be won. If they can get the running game going like they did, this is a really, really dangerous offense. And I think defense coordinators would be terrified to try to defend this, especially when this offensive line is really banging in the trenches. So keep doing that and do just enough on defense to shut down the other team on third down. I think it's going to come together.
All right. Last but not least, give me your predictions for Sunday's game.
Well, it's the Browns. it is in Cleveland. It's going to be a little bit cold, but I don't think that's going to be anything that's going to slow down this Falcons team. They showed in Washington that playing outside is not a curse. Apparently the curse is just in the state of Pennsylvania,
right?
As we're seeing. I think the Falcons are going to go up there and bring home another win and be above 500. So I'm going to go with a score like Falcons 32, Browns 21.
All right, there it is. You can catch him on Twitter at FalconHollersDW. And D-Dub, go ahead and let everybody know where they can catch your podcast for the Falconholler and where they can catch your articles.
Yep, you can find our write-ups every day, fresh content daily, just like Krispy Kreme, at thefalcoholic.com. I don't know why I picked that. I'm in a donut mood, I guess. And, of course, you can find the Falcoholic podcast on any of your favorite podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google, and Stitcher.
There it is. D.W., we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. And you already know, rise up!
Rise up. Thanks, guys.
No problem. There he is, man, D.W., bringing that Falcons report in and into play. And we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, you already know our main man Rain Man is on the phone, ready to give us the picks of the week. You listen to Sports Roundtable with SRT Crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. Sports Roundtable.
All right, need to score 2 points.
Here's how I see it. Duck.
Yes.
You kick it into the girl, Bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy, Bunny.
Got
it. You swing around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
We on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Typical.
All right, you're going to have to listen to Mike on this, guys.
Okay.
Listen up.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
We'll get ready because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back at you. It is that time. Pen and paper. Make sure you get it out because on the phone we got our guy. You should be winning some fruit cups all year long because he's here to give you his picks. And on the phone we have Rain Man, our man Slick Money. What's going on, Slick?
Not much, HM3. What's going on, guys?
Ain't that saying all is well, baby. Your boy Hancock here, Jay Smooth's here, and you already know G Money's here. He got the new hairstyle going on today.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what you talk about. All right, so let's go to last week. How did you finish up? Because I know the first two games were pretty good. Well, the first three, we didn't cover the Army game, and we didn't cover. So it was 3-2, right? Was that a 3-2?
Yeah, 3-2. Yeah, 3-2. Yeah, Army let us down. It's okay. We stand above the, you know, Mendoza line. We still above 500, so that's good.
There you go. All right, so this week, not a lot of major games that's going on. You do got Georgia, Auburn, and Oklahoma State. They play Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma State Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah. So we got that, but it's not really a national game that everybody is tuning into. So not sure if that's going to affect things. But go ahead and let's start out with your value pick.
My value pick, I'm going to the NFL. I think there's value in New Orleans Saints going to Cincinnati. If you know by now, A.J. Green is not playing. I think he's going to be out for the next couple of games. And Cincinnati, over the years, have not done well coming off a bye. So I want to say they're under 500 coming off bye. So I like New Orleans Saints, which is trending in the right direction. So I like the Saints minus the 4 to go to Cincinnati and win at least by a touchdown or more.
Okay. And give me your lock for this week.
My lock, I'm going to college. Pittsburgh Panther is playing Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech, big loss to Old Dominion, really just kind of spiraled them down to the wrong, in the wrong direction. And they just lost to Boston College last week. So I think Pitt at home plus 3, giving up 3, it just should be an easy play. So I like Pitt minus 3 to Virginia Tech at home.
Pitt minus 3. Virginia Tech is, they done fell off the bandwagon. All right, give me your upset pick.
I don't really consider this an upset, but it's just something to think about. I'm taking Boston College. Game day is going to Boston College. Chestnut is where they play at.
Mm-hmm.
Home of Maddie Ice, right? That's where you went to college at, right?
Yeah, it is. Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I figured you'd like to hear that. But anyway, Boston College is getting 21. I truly believe Clemson will win the game, but I've seen stranger things happen. But I'm telling you, man, in order to beat Alabama and Clemson, you got to have a mobile quarterback and a good running back. And I do think Boston College have both. So I think this is going to be an interesting game, but I like to have Boston College plus the 21 at home, and I don't really think it's going to be an upset, but take the points.
Take the points. They got you. That's good enough for us, especially if it's going to win us some fruit cups. All right, so give me your bonus pick.
Bonus pick, I'm going back to the NFL. Man, the Falcons are trending in the right direction. I think the Falcons minus four going to Cleveland. Cleveland is bad, man. They got some talent. Coaches changing, new coach coming in. I just think they're not in where they need to be. But the Falcons are the place they need to be, which is going in the right direction. So I like the Falcons minus the four to go to Cleveland and win by a touchdown or more.
Gotcha. That's the only bonus you got?
Well, I got one more bonus. I don't know if it's kind of like flying off the radar a little bit.
Okay.
But I like Troy. Troy is going to play Georgia Southern. I think Troy should win that game. And so I do like Troy. I think the spread is like Georgia Southern getting one at home. But I think Troy has the better team and a better athlete.
So that's Troy plus one versus Georgia Southern?
That is correct. Yeah, it's down in Georgia Southern.
Gotcha. All right. So let me recap this real quick. For your value pick, you got New Orleans, who just signed Dez Bryant, minus four versus the Bengals. And your lock would be the Pitt Panthers in college, minus three versus Virginia Tech, who's obviously is on a downslope. Your upset, and we just not straight out win, but to cover the points, would be Boston College plus 21 versus the Clemson Tigers. And the bonus would be the hometown Falcons minus four versus the Browns. And the other bonus would be Troy plus one versus Georgia Southern.
That is correct.
That is correct. All right, cool.
Hey, HM3.
Yes, sir.
I want to give you a nugget, though.
Okay.
Vegas took a hit this past weekend. They lost between $10 to $12 million to the public on all these games getting right or slight upsets. So Vegas took a big hit between $10 to $12 million this past weekend. So they're looking forward to trying to get some of their money back this weekend.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they are. And speaking of getting their money back, what do you think about the start of the college basketball game last night with Kansas, Michigan State, Duke, and Kentucky?
Oh, I'm ready to give a championship to Duke. I've never seen anything like that to dismantle the Kentucky Wildcats by that big a margin. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. I thought I was looking at the NBA fans, some college all-stars. I mean, man, you should be proud of your Duke Blue Devils. I mean, you might as well go ahead and give them the championship right now. And then I think the next best team probably is Kansas, Jayhawks.
Yeah, I don't know about giving them the championship right now because I think, you know, I still think they still have to – they don't want to – and Hancock always talk about this, peaking at the wrong time. I know they got to get better, but what was impressive to me is that they didn't even run plays last night. They just say, go play. And that was it.
Hard. I can't see anybody beating them. And I talked to Hancock about this, and it might take a veteran team, maybe like a Villanova or somebody, Michigan State, you know, over a 3 or 4 month span to put it all together to beat them. But athlete for athlete, I don't think nobody's going to touch Duke right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's looking – I got all kind of texts. Like, I couldn't even go to sleep last night. I had to drink some coffee just to stay up and reply to texts and all that.
I thought the game was on. Was it that? What the college name of PlayStation? What they call that?
the college basketball version.
I thought it was a PlayStation game I was watching. Man, not Kentucky that I know to get destroyed like that. It was never close.
What'd you think about Zion Williams?
Oh my God, this dude is unbelievable, man. Got almost 2 million followers right now on Instagram. He's going to be the next superstar, and he ain't even the best player on his team. that Barry kid is going first. He's going to be the first player taking the draft.
Yeah, he's something to be reckoned with. All right,
yeah,
man.
He's something special.
We gotta let you roll. We gotta get into this power 10. But let everybody know where they can find you on social media with IG. And they can find your picks and your motivation.
Yes, you can find me on IG at Victor Hill number 4.
There it is, my main man, Slick Money. Hey, man, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, folks. Y'all have a good one. Be safe, okay?
All right. Good
deal, buddy.
There he is, man. Slick Money dropping them nuggets. Han, you liking the picks?
Man, it's too early for me right now.
Too early?
I got to get in the lab.
Got to get in the lab. Kind of liking that Trump pick. And the New Orleans, is that might be a trap game.
Yeah, even with AJ out.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is New Orleans plays so many good games and big games back to back.
Yeah. That's true.
But they are playing well.
Yeah, they are playing well. All right, now it's time to get into Tuesday they had this, they broke down the college playoff thing, but we don't pay attention to that. What you need to really pay attention to is the SRT Power 10 college football version.
We're between the white lines. This is football. This is football.
The SRT Power 10.
Yeah. All right, all right, all right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. Again, you know this story. At number one, we have the Alabama Crimson Tide coming in with 50 points. At number two, we have the Clemson Tigers with 49 points. At number three, we have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with 39 points. At number four, we have the Michigan Wolverines with 35 points, rounding out our top four. After that, the first two out are the Georgia Bulldogs at five with 31 points. At number six, we have the Oklahoma Sooners with 22 points. And finishing out our top 10, LSU comes in at seven with 16 points. At number eight, Ohio State with 16 points, a versatile tie. At number nine, we had the Washington State Cougars with 11. And the West Virginia Mountaineers cracked the top 10 with 6 points. One other team received votes. And I don't even know why I said it, because they are the tallest person at the...
Yeah, at the party.
There you go.
Yeah.
UCF had 4 points. So, again, our top four consisted of Alabama with 50, Clemson at number two with 49, three was Notre Dame, and four was the Michigan Wolverines.
All right, there it is. Was it... Well, I guess it was a consensus if those top four, do you...
Who are you asking about?
Do you agree with the four and five?
I do agree with four and five to this point. I think Georgia's on the ascend. I think Georgia playing in the SEC might give them the edge if it comes down to those two teams. If they both win their respective conference championship games, they're both going to get in.
Right.
So that won't be an issue. So I don't think where they are now, it doesn't matter, because they both have to win out and win their conference championships to get in, because they both have one loss.
Right.
If one of them was undefeated, you might have a little more at stake, because a one-loss team that lost in this championship game versus one-loss team that won be different. But, you know, I think it'll come down. I think Georgia... These two teams control their own destiny, as we always say.
Right.
So, you know, just win out and you don't have to worry about it. The thorn in everybody's side is Notre Dame. Because if Notre Dame wins out, they're going to take up a spot, and it could possibly lead to either two conferences getting left out, definitely one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to continue that conversation. That's why I asked about it, because when we come back, in our roundtable discussion, we're going to talk about a college football scenario that could possibly happen. So all y'all Alabama fans, y'all better tune in for this, because we going to have to shed some light and possibly hurt some feelings at the same time, because you're in a good position, but you're in a bad position. And that's all I'm going to say. So we're going to wrap this first hour up, and we're going to come back. The second hour, we're going to jump into our ballers and busters, then our roundtable discussion, where we go talk college football situations if Alabama loses. And I'm going to set the stage for you. So make sure you stay tuned for that. That's going to happen around 8:10, 8:15. So make sure you're tuning in for that. And we go take a quick break. Again, we'll be right back. Second hour of the show. will be coming up in a second. You're listening to Sports Roundtable and the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peekville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up, folks? I want to invite you to come check out the Game Time Radio Show right here on The Real 1100. We air Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. with your host, E-Dub, Ty, and ATL Phil. Game Time Radio Show, we don't play games when it comes to sports.
What's up, man? It's Keith Lamar. Check out Real Talk with Keith Lamar. It comes on every Thursday from 6 to 7. We talk about everything, man, from law to the Lewd Act. Everybody loves the Lewd Act, by the way, y'all. And, you know, politics, sports. We heavy in the game, man. Heavy in the streets. Doing what we do all day, 6 to 7, every Thursday, AM 1100.
Good morning. We are
The Morning Takeover.
I'm your girl, Shanisa W, a.k.a. The Nice One.
Hey, hey, it's your boy, Silly Thoughts.
I'm Petty with a side of shade.
We're going to give you the latest in entertainment news, politics, and sports. Get your champagne ready because there are plenty of mimosa moments.
We're on every Monday through Friday at 10:15 a.m. on The Real 1100.
Let's talk.
Sports Roundtable.
You guys won last year just to spite her. Maybe she's just what we need.
Ah, Skip, they were a different team last year.
Taylor, it's not your job to make excuses. That's all you guys do good. It's either a leg thing, or a spiritual thing, or a psychological thing, or a heart attack.
Who used heart attack?
Me.
Hey. Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. Boom. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man, when it's strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe that. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's, once again, Sports Roundtable. We're back. Second hour of the show, man. We had a great first hour. Thanks for tuning in, as always. And you can catch us online, Facebook Live, SRT Sports Talk Radio. Make sure you follow us online, Facebook. You can watch us. We are in studio, man, so you just check it out. Make sure you check it out. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, 404-603-8770 is the number to call. And make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. So make sure you hit that button to follow us on social media. While we at it, we got some other news that I wanted to talk about. Mr. Harper rejects a $300 million contract for 10 years from the Nationals. G, your thoughts on that real quick.
You're supposed to get $400, so he's not settling for less.
Scott Boras is his agent, and he is up to Scott Boras' thing.
Speaking of Scott Boras, I believe there was something that came out that said that, Bryce Harper could play first base, which would mean he's going to the Yankees.
Wow.
For $400 million.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's with Didi being out for a while, getting Tommy John surgery. They have an opening at first base. If they also get Machado, who's going to play short, then, yeah. And you got Judge in right field, right? Yeah. Bryce Harper at first base.
With that short porch in right field.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. All right, so, hey, we're going to come back to this. Aikman says the Cowboys need to overhaul the organization. Who is he throwing shade at?
Needs to start with the coach down. And actually, what we talk about with Jerry Jones is get him to step away from day-to-day football operations. That's the biggest thing. Have him manage the money. You know, just make the sign the checks. Stay out of the football decisions. And, you know, let Garrett coach or, you know, cutting the puppet strings if he can do that. Or find a real coach that can coach the team.
But the Hancock, he think he Al Davis, man.
Yeah, I know, man. And,
he's the owner, but he can also, you know, be in the coaches' meetings.
Right, and it's hard to tell a guy who spends his money to buy this franchise, to make it what it is, and tell him what to do with it.
Yep.
You know, so, hey.
Marlon says he thought it was Jerry Jones. I don't understand how.
But
you can't fight an owner.
And that's the thing. It's his thing.
So maybe, and I was on the show last night, shout out to the Crush, and it was brought up that maybe Jerry Jones has figured out that he can still be the most valuable football team without winning.
Oh, yeah.
He can. But
look at
hold on now. Now, he's not Donald Sterling on this, okay? Who did not care about winning at all. Jerry's trying to win a Super Bowl before he dies.
But like Hart said, if he's not going to lose any money, it's a hell of a consolation.
I'm just asking.
Consolation prize to be the most valued sports franchise in the world.
Yep.
And you ain't got
to
win.
And you don't have to win. I mean, it's good to say I'm trying. And I agree. I think he's trying because he makes a lot of moves to try to win. But there are no consequences because they have the top three games that have been viewed in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? People watch them regardless. They like
it don't matter.
They like the Kardashians.
Listen, they play out.
They're famous, man.
Yeah.
Their playoff hiatus hadn't even come up.
It don't matter. They the Kardashians of sports. I'm telling you. Mm. People have to watch. And he keeps it fresh. He went out and spent a first round pick and everybody had the anticipation. Oh, let's see what Amari going to do.
Yeah.
And you're going to tune in.
Yeah.
That's the brand.
Maybe
it's
that's
about
the
brand.
Yeah, maybe that's it. All right, well, it's time to move on to some
Dallas Kardashians.
All right, man, let's go ahead and jump to these ballers. And bust those.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Christopher said that Jerry is another Al Davis. Marta says Jerry sells hope to the fan base. All right, man. Our ballers and busters, man. Man, what a week. And I'm going to start off. And the aforementioned, my baller this week is aforementioned Michigan Wolverines defense. Defensive coordinator Don Brown. I don't know how long he's going to be there because I think he's going to be a hot coach. But Michigan defense held Penn State to 186 yards and 7 points in a 42-7 victory. On this Saturday, they forced 3 turnovers and recorded 5 sacks, 6 tackles, and it was just an annihilation. And it was the Nittany Lions was 2 of 11 on third downs, just dominant. And I don't think G. Garrett didn't even play, right? I don't even think he.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I, and he made. That's crazy. That defense is crazy. So my baller goes out to the Michigan Wolverines defense and defensive coordinator Don Brown. All right, Ham.
Well, I'm going to go a route that we have not gone, I guess, in about 2 or 3 years, or at least it's D. Webb. Not 2 years. I'm going to give a ball to the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's almost like giving Michael Jordan MVP when he was,
right,
you know, in his prime. But look, Bama thumped a team that was supposed to be a threat to them. They beat them 29-0, allowed 12 yards rushing, a total of 196 yards, and limited the team to 5-for-16 on third down. So, hey, I give it to Alabama. Again, proving its dominance, showing why they are the preeminent NCAA football team.
Yeah.
Best in the league, best in the world. Best ever. I just got to give it to him. I haven't seen a college football organization like this, man. Seriously, he just wins every year. And it's Alabama, and they say, well, they don't do this, and they keep doing it. So,
yeah, and
Alabama, my baller, man.
All right, Smooth.
Oh, real quick, Rashawn Gary did play.
He did play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Smooth.
For me, baller of the week goes to Minnesota Timberwolves guard Derrick Rose. It's been a while, and this is a guy who, you know, many thought his career was over. But he proved on last Wednesday, October 31st, Halloween, actually.
When he dressed up as Derrick Rose 2010.
He did. Yeah. flashback. He actually scored 50 in that game, 19 out of 31 from the field, 8 of 11 from the line, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Turned the ball over 6 times, but it was actually a career high for Derrick Rose, 50 points. And, you know, congrats to Derrick. Timberwolves, I don't know how sustainable that is, but, you know.
Who did they play?
Utah Jazz.
Okay. So, did nobody throw the ball up in the stands after the game?
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But congrats to Derrick Rose. Great game.
All right, G.
All right, my baller of the week goes to Minnesota Vikings defensive end. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Daniel or Danielle or Daniil Hunter. Along with the rest of the Minnesota Vikings defense, he personally had 3 tackles along with 3.5 sacks and a 32-yard fumble return for a touchdown in a 24-9 win over the Detroit Lions. Overall, the Vikings had 10 sacks.
Wow. He had a better day than Vic Beasley probably gonna have for his season.
Wow.
Think about that.
And
he's scheduled to make $12 million next year.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Christopher says, SEC play ranked teams every week. Just throwing it out. All right, my buster this week. And if you have ballers and busters on Facebook Live, please drop them, your ballers and busters. Let us know how you're feeling about whoever is your baller or your buster. My buster this week goes out to Florida's quarterback, Felipe Franks, who is a disappointment to me for this whole season. He threw for 84 yards in a home game versus Missouri, and he was benched for Kyle Trask, who promptly came into the game and led Gators to a 75, led them to a touchdown that covered 75 yards. He converted 2 fourth downs on that drive and actually continued to throw. I think he had 184 yards passing with less than a quarter. So, Felipe Franks, you are my buster. And if Dan Mullen plays you next week, Dan Mullen will probably get a buster next week. All right, Han.
Well, my buster goes out to the University of Miami. They call it the U, and the U stands for underachievers. The U came in this year with high expectations, aspirations of a national title, all the hype. And they have probably lost their last 3 football games in a row. So I bought in. I thought that Rick would do some things. They had to, you know, try to bring in that old, you know, tied to the excellence of the U, but not so much. Buster goes to Miami, the University of Miami, the U, underachievers.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Smooth.
For me, Buster of the Week goes to a guy who might lead. He might be the all-time leading Buster of the Week. And it goes out to Buffalo Bills quarterback Nathan Peterman, who somehow found his way, you know, back into the starting lineup via injury, of course, to Josh Allen and Derek Anderson. But on Sunday, Nathan Peterman was blown out in a loss 41-9 by the Chicago Bears. He had a QBR of 8.7.
8.7?
He threw 3 interceptions.
That's out of 100, that's for people ridiculous. Listening. Out of 100.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How is he still in the league?
He's still in the league.
I just don't understand.
And get this, he actually scored a touchdown. But the Bears defense actually scored more touchdowns than Nathan Peterman. So, you know, as Hancock said, we don't know how this guy continually finds himself as a starter. I don't know what Nathan Peterman has on, you know, the people in the Buffalo Bills organization. I don't know, but that's my Buster of the Week, the all-time leader in Buster of the Week awards.
I saw Nathan on Twitter Peterman. Where he won Defensive Player of the Week. By the Bills Mafia say he was Defensive Player of the Week. He defended his own team.
Right. He stopped.
Yeah. They had on Facebook when they started to GoFundMe account to get
That's bad. That's hard. He is the worst quarterback I have ever. They might as well run the Wildcat.
I know. Marlon, I know. I saw it too. Listen, me and you had this conversation. I was trying my best to come up with somebody.
I ask you.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
He's done. There is no quarterback in the history that's worse than this guy.
He averaged 3.84 yards per pass.
And he's still on the team. They cut kickers for missing.
Yeah.
Field goals. They cut somebody this past week. Look, man. If I was, I wouldn't let him ride the bus home. There's no way I would bring him to the stage.
Vontae Davis had seen this, and he just looked, I'm done.
I'm done.
Can we just name the Buster of the Week Award the Nathan Peterman Award? Nathan Peterman Award goes to.
Starting next week, it's the Nathan Peterman Award.
There it is, my man. IG, who you bust?
Look, I'm in the car with Jay on this because I've given it to the Bills in some capacity at least 3 or 4 times. Yeah. Just to give you a few more numbers, as a team, the quarterbacks, four players have thrown a pass, but with the 3 quarterbacks that have played, they have combined for 55% passing, 1,594 yards, 3 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
The Bills have played 9 games.
Wow.
Yes. They have scored 8 touchdowns for the entire season.
That's hard.
5 of them have come from Josh Allen.
Josh Allen got hurt. Nathan Peterman was on the team from training camp. When Josh Allen got hurt, they signed a guy who was trying to get his PGA card to come in and start. They went past. The coach went down the roster and said, I need a quarterback. And passed him without the facility and went and found Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
To play quarterback.
Wow.
Somebody who was done.
Done.
There's no excuse for Nathan Peterman being the starting quarterback.
Not only that, okay, they traded Tyrod Taylor. They benched Tyrod Taylor for this guy last year. They benched Tyrod Taylor, a guy who had made a Pro Bowl. I know Pro Bowl doesn't mean a lot, but that he's at least a decent quarterback, right? Yep. Yeah. They traded A.J. McCarron, who they signed in the offseason. They traded A.J. McCarron away. They also cut E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel posted on Instagram, like, he's sitting at home like, Nathan Peterman's out here and I can't get a job? EJ can't even get a backup job, and you try Nathan Peterman out here.
I thought, I see strange things. That's a strange thing.
Yeah.
And then the biggest pimp to ever be in Nevada died and still won the election this past week. Yeah. So between that and Nathan Peterman,
nothing
surprised me no more.
You've seen it all.
But Nathan Peterman is horrible.
Terrible.
Marlon said the Bill organization should be sued by defrauding the fans.
They should
be sued.
You are not trying to win. You cannot be trying to win.
No,
that's crazy. All right, man, let's go take a break. When we come back, you already know we got this roundtable discussion. The college football situation is coming up. You listen to the Sports Roundtable and the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and srtradio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies. Specifically, how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where footwork is key.
Sports Roundtable.
UCF, that's cool. It's a nice little story, but it's being the tallest midget at the party. I mean, it really don't mean nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable Discussion. SRT Sports Roundtable, we're back at you. It is time for the Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball. If you're looking for some improvement in your basketball game, go ahead and call Coach Bo Bell at CoachBoBell.com. Well, he says feet work is key. All right, so college football situation. Marlon Steele, I got it. I can't watch that. Yeah, you're making me laugh. All right, here's the situation. All right, Han, you ready?
Let's get it.
This going to be good. So, Alabama fans, y'all pay attention because this involves you. This is what if, and this is obviously a situation that could happen. If Alabama loses to Georgia, so let me just say it the way I wrote it. If Georgia beats Alabama in the championship game, if Michigan beats Ohio State, and wins out and wins their conference championship game. If OU beats West Virginia and wins the Big 12, and if Clemson and Notre Dame wins out, which four is in?
Okay. Well, we know if they win out, the two you talked about, Clemson and Notre Dame, they're going to be in.
So it's only two spots left.
Right. The Georgia-Alabama game, if Georgia beats Bama, I think Georgia's in because of, for one thing, playing in the SEC and beating the best team in college football.
Right.
So I think they're in. Now, the only caveat to that by beating Bama, if it goes down to the wire,
okay,
and they beat them in a close football game, I think Bama gets in.
All right, so now, let's lock – Notre Dame, Clemson, Georgia is in. So right. We got one spot left for Michigan, Bama, and Oklahoma.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. If it's a close game, I think Bama still goes. If it's truly one-sided and Georgia beats them convincingly, I think that will be the only way Bama gets left out. Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan will have two losses.
In Ohio State, right? No, they beat Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay, so they're beating Ohio State. So Ohio State is gone. Michigan will have one loss to Notre Dame.
And Oklahoma will have one loss.
Right, which is a good loss. But the thing about it is, like I said, I think the SEC is a better conference. So I think the nod is going to go with the one-loss Bama team, to be honest with you.
So one-loss Bama.
One loss. I think they trump Michigan.
One-loss Michigan, who will win
the Big Ten.
And the one-loss Oklahoma, who will win the Big 12.
I don't think either of those teams has a chance against the resumes of the other two squads, to be honest with you. I don't think so. I think you would definitely give the edge to them, because Michigan's only loss would be to a team that's in Notre Dame. Yeah. And the same thing with Georgia and Alabama. Georgia would be in because they went go through the SEC, win the SEC championship, and beat the number one team in the nation. So I think out of that four, I think that's the way it would go. It took me a minute to try to think about it, but I think that's the way it would go. I just think the other teams would be left out, and you would have probably next year expanded playoffs.
Smooth, what's the thing?
It's really hard to imagine a scenario where Alabama is not in the top four. If you look at Georgia's remaining schedule, they play Auburn next week, who, you know, they've had their struggles, but they're still a ranked opponent at this point. And you have an opportunity to beat Alabama. That's their only loss would be against LSU, who, you know, at one time had the best resume in college football, and they're still a ranked team. They also have wins against South Carolina at the beginning of the season, who was ranked. Florida, who looked terrible, but, you know, rankings, the trend is the rankings. You want to play ranked teams, Kentucky, Auburn, and Alabama. If you take down the big dog, that's your big joke right there. If you're Michigan, if you do win out against, you do beat Ohio State, you still have a lot of great wins. You have a win against Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan State, and their ace, that another big joke or little joke or whatever you want to call it, Notre Dame. I do agree that Clemson.
They lost to Notre Dame.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry, lost to Notre Dame. But I do agree that Clemson and Notre Dame, they're both locked in at 2 and 3. They could swap depending on the way that they perform going down the stretch of these last 3 weeks. But at this point, just based on the eye test, when you look at Alabama, it's hard to imagine another team just dominating them.
So I think it will be a close game.
Right.
So we got Clemson in. Based on this scenario, we got Notre Dame in. And we got Georgia in because they won the SEC. So the four spot, we're talking about Bama, Michigan, or Oklahoma.
And those are conference champions.
Now, Bama won't be a conference champion.
Exactly. Be a one loss.
But Michigan and Oklahoma will be a conference champion, and they get left out for Alabama. Boy, this college football thing.
It will be crazy.
It will be crazy.
Yeah.
But we always talk about you're supposed to be getting the best four teams. And you going to sit and tell me that those two teams are better than Alabama?
All right, let's get G thoughts on that.
All right, let's work backwards on this.
Oh.
From what you put in, let's work backwards. All right, Clemson, Notre Dame, they went out. They're both undefeated. They're going to be 1-2.
Okay.
Oklahoma, West Virginia, it doesn't matter. The Big 12 is not getting in. I don't think they're getting in at all.
Don't even worry about the conference championship. Okay.
There's no chance. Just because, like, look at Oklahoma's schedule. Okay, yeah, Oklahoma State coming up. Then you have Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have West Virginia to end the regular season.
And then they probably have to play
and
West
then
Virginia
play each other again
in the championship.
So they pretty much cancel each other out.
Okay.
I mean, to beat West Virginia back-to-back weeks
won't be enough.
I don't think it's going to mean anything.
It's not eye-popping. You're right.
All right.
Because they'll be ranked lower the next week, and then so it means less.
Right.
If Michigan wins out and beats Ohio State, I think they're the third team. The Notre Dame loss looks good.
Okay.
So that comes down to Georgia beating Alabama. While I think Alabama will be number one at the time of this hypothetical loss, they would have to drop from 1 to 5 on one loss to a team ranked probably number 5 at the time. While Georgia would get credit for that, I think it'll be hard for them to still be at one loss getting to that point because they've already won the division. But if they at 10-1 or whatever their record would be and they beat Alabama, Georgia would get in. And I think the committee would punish Alabama enough to where they would fall to number 5.
Wow. You think you'd take Michigan over Alabama?
I think Michigan will be taken over Alabama. Yeah.
If they, I would go with you, if it hadn't been a precedent set where a conference champion hadn't been left out before, the way you didn't have to win your conference championship to get in. I would be with you. But that's what I'm saying. They've already set that precedent. And I can't see how anybody on that committee is going to say that Bama, if they lost, like I said, now my caveat is, It has to be a close game. I don't see how they're going to leave Bama out.
Because
I really don't.
With this scenario, we're really only talking about 2 slots.
Yes. With this scenario, only 2 slots.
Yeah.
And
music can tell.
2 of them win the conference championship. 1 of them loses to one that wins the conference championship. But one of those conference champions doesn't get in.
You're going to have 3 conference champions that don't get in. Because the Pac-12,
they're not even in the conversation.
But Washington State going to be a 1-loss team, like going to be like, hey. Hey.
All right, let's look at Washington State's schedule.
Hey, I understand, G. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bumping for them. All I'm doing is saying what's going to happen is
Washington State can win out. They can't even play their way in.
All I'm saying is this is what I want to happen. Because I want the playoff to expand. Mm-hmm.
So,
because why are they playing football in the West if they're not going to even get a chance? Because we can say their schedule, but Clemson's schedule ain't nothing to write home about either. It really ain't much in the Big 12. So, I mean, what I'm saying to you is I understand that what you're going to go and you're going to say, well, look at the outside people that they play, which Washington State's non-conference is bad. But some of the conference plays that these people playing are horrible.
Yeah.
They just name alone. Oregon State is not good. USC is not good. Oregon is not good. But these are name brand institutions. Mm-hmm. And look at, if you look at the Big Ten, ain't nothing much to write home about in that either. Minnesota?
Especially out west.
Wisconsin is down.
Would they say, G, that Michigan is just hot at the time? Would they? What kind of?
Yeah, they'll get the, you know, the team nobody wants to play. they believe in that hot hand again,
right? You know that's. But this is the thing about
it. Man, they beat. What was LSU ranked last week?
3-5-3-3.
And they went to their house and didn't shut them out. Score. And they have beat everybody like that this year.
Yeah.
And you're going to say because they lost on a field goal that they're not getting in? I don't believe it, G. I don't believe it. I do not believe that. I don't believe that committee sits there and said, not because their thing is to say that they're taking the best team. And you can't tell me that resume and what they're doing to people, even that, just looking at them by the eye test.
With it, so this is what the flip part going to be, right? LSU beat Georgia to death. We didn't even let LSU score. Right?
Right.
But Georgia beat you, which is Alabama. That is a hard spot to be in.
Yeah.
Think about it now. Georgia beats
a LSU. A team that has dominated everybody that they played up until that point. If you're going to look at it, Bama's going to beat everybody by 3 to 4 touchdowns.
Doesn't matter if Michigan squeaks by Ohio State, or do they need to blow them out? Or does it even matter?
It doesn't matter. We saw TCU rout the last opponent they played when they were in the four, and they routed whomever that was in the last game of the year.
Iowa State.
And they got left out of the playoff.
They were number three.
And they got
They
left
were number
out.
Three going into that game. And got, they won like 59-14 or something. Fell to five.
And they did. They killed the team. You remember exactly what I'm talking about.
So,
so it there's no rhyme or reason. The only I'm just telling you, I don't believe it.
So
I believe it.
The eye test should mean more than the conference championship.
You've watched Michigan play this year, right?
Yeah.
And you've watched Alabama play. Which one's more pleasing to your eyes?
Me, Alabama. All season. Consistent.
I just don't think there's any way, and that's the flawed part of this thing where everybody said, well, it's a playoff every week. That's bull. That's a regular season game. It's not a playoff every week because it's still left up to somebody making a decision. It's not made on the field.
Right.
And so that's why I really think it's going to be a
Marla
problem.
Marla said, eye test is not a stat.
Right. Hey, one more thing.
That's the Ohio State for it.
I don't know. Marla,
I don't think about your other guy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. But go ahead.
Just one more thing to look at. Does Auburn maybe hold the key to the season?
If they beat Georgia.
I mean, because they still have Bama and Georgia left. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
They going to get waxed.
Yeah.
So, Bama going to kill them this year. This is not going to be the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
This is not the type. And you always say, throw the records out. I don't believe it this year.
Well, that's going to be a tough situation.
I don't see how they're going to leave Bama out in a close loss.
I think they're I'm just saying, like, how the committee might think.
Go ahead.
Well, I really don't agree with it, right. But they might think, well, we've seen Alabama has made the playoff in every year of this playoff. I think people are tired of seeing Alabama. That's how they might think. We don't want to see Alabama, or we don't want to have a chance of having really a regional national championship like we had last year. So we can't have two SEC teams in. While I think that if Georgia is able to beat Alabama, Michigan could be left out. And like I said, the precedent has been set to where a potential conference champion was in the playoff, they win that last game, and then they're out the next week. So both things could happen, but I think the committee might try to, they might be looking for a chance to punish Alabama enough to where if they're number one, lose the SEC championship, they fall to number five.
If Alabama gets in for the second straight year without winning their conference championship, moving forward, how are these teams going to even take this? Because you would have Michigan and Oklahoma who would have won their conference championship and didn't even get into four, and they had one loss.
That's why I think they got to expand the playoff. And this is what I was talking about earlier when I was saying that college football is pretty much being dominated in the South and maybe the Midwest, but anything out West – that's why it's not playing, because nobody out there is a big dog, and they're not even getting invited to the party. And it's getting bad.
There are only two teams that would even have a chance to get invited, and that's USC and Oregon, and they're not good right now.
Right, and that's why half of the country is not going to pay attention. See, this thing is money-based now. So believe me, they're going to stop pouring in money, these advertising, whatever, if they're not getting the buck of them. The bank for their buck.
Did you see what Marty just said?
What he said?
Marty all the time, man.
He said it's unpredictable. He said on his that it's unpredictable. And it is.
Yeah, but he said if y'all can hear y'allself trying to figure this out.
Well, I'm just being real. It's not going to be pretty if they continue to leave all these other conferences out. But they're going to be left out.
I want to ask you this. Like, how should they expand the playoff? Because some people would look directly to the FCS, and they have a 16-team tournament.
I think,
should they do that, or should they go like the NFL with six teams? Should they go to eight teams? But with eight teams, that means three games.
Yeah.
I like that you get every conference champion from the Power Five, and you get the last that everybody wants to see, that UCF, that what they call that,
not group Power of five.
That group of five champion, the best one out of there gets in, and they get their brains beat in by the number one power team.
Right.
And you go from there. I just think, to me, you have, then every conference champion gets in. If you win your conference championship game, you get in. And then that group of five champion gets in. I think that's the first start of it. You go six teams.
I agree with it, yeah. I agree.
With the NFL, like, okay, 1 and 2 would get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
But still, for seeds 3 through 6 to win, you got to win three games.
I said that wrong. That group of five champion and then two at large, because I wanted 8. That's what I want. I want 8 games. 8 people in. I want the
two at large. So you have 3 playoff games.
Right.
3 playoff games.
And that way, I think everybody gets a fair shot. You get your 5 conference championship power fives in, 1 group of 5, and 2 at large. There you got your playoff.
Okay. All right, man, real quick. We're going to move on real quick, and let's kind of dash through this Rams Saints breakdown.
But hold on, before you go,
okay,
listen to how that would stack up. You, if that was the case, okay, right now, you have Bama, Clemson, Michigan, Oklahoma, right? Because that would be SEC, ACC,
Big Ten.
From the Big Ten.
Big 12.
Big 12 would be Oklahoma.
Your Pac-12 would be Washington State.
Washington State. And UCF would get in.
Would be your at-large is UCF, at large. Notre Dame.
Right. Then you have Notre Dame and Georgia.
Okay.
You see that. People would want to see that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm definitely with it.
The concern is going to be adding more games to the schedule, yeah, and who's going to host these games. And
you
want to
win the championship, that's what you got to do.
The logistics aren't important right now.
Damn.
Exactly. All right. The showdown, the Rams versus the Saints in New Orleans, and it looked ugly early. So just tell me what you saw, Han, real quick. About what's your thoughts on the game?
Thoughts are that there's some flaws that are going along with the Rams. I think their offense has kind of covered a lot of it. And I think they have a lot of individuals that really don't play as a unit. When you look at what they have in the back end of the defense with Peters and Tlaib has been out. But one point that some other players were making was saying that they're trying to fit him into a system where he doesn't play that way. He doesn't play real good press coverage. He's allowed – what makes him good is if he plays off and is able to read quarterback and man. So him playing up – see, he tried to jump that route and – well, he tried to sit down and Thomas went right by him for, what, 60, 70-yard touchdown end the game.
Yeah, he was in school Sunday.
Right, and that's what happened. So I think Ndamukong Suh, you know, he plays kind of on – his own terms too. They say he doesn't practice with the team or whatever. So it's a lot of craziness, kind of like, and these things are all covered when you win.
Right.
But then all the things that I'm hearing about are starting to come out because they lost. But I just think the Saints are a good, real good football team. And adding Dez, as we talked about, is going to be good for them. But you asked me about this game. What I saw is Alvin Kamara is a matchup nightmare. And you know, if he can just – he hits it up in there also on some run plays that you don't expect from a back his size. But the other thing is when he gets in space, if you got linebackers on him or whatever, you might as well play the band. It's not going to happen. You're not going to cover
him. Right.
And then the other thing, like I said, if you try to match up with him and go nickel, he's shifty enough and good enough to hit it up in there and hit – you know, he's hitting holes. So with that, the linemen are getting out on your smaller guys, and he's running the football. So he's a matchup nightmare. He's like Le'Veon, but not as big, basically.
Right.
He's Le'Veon Bell. Quicker and smaller, but quicker. But he's basically the same kind of back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just right now with Drew Brees being as accurate as he is, he doesn't miss people, man. And he's putting the ball in spots. If you see Kamara run a route, he's on such – they so tied together. When Kamara's making his breaks, the ball is there. He's turning – and it's right there. I mean, and they're indefensible right now. The Saints look good, man.
Yeah, I saw the Saints made the Rams one-dimensional by getting ahead. And they went one-dimensional, and they took the running game out of the situation to where Gurley – We can't run the ball now. We got to play catch up, and that was one of the things you kind of took him out of the run game, and you scored first, which is cool, but once you got behind 35-14,
mm-hmm. But they caught him.
They did.
That was impressive.
They caught him with passing.
Yeah,
but they and that's not how they normally do. That play action works. That play action with the run game, it works. And you kind of took that away.
Yeah.
You know, you caught him because you had to pass and you had to catch him.
Did you notice the little arrogance, though, by going with the fake punt early in the game when you should have put the field goal up?
Yeah.
See, those are also things that, you know, you kind of start feeling yourself a little bit more instead of putting the points on the board. I thought that was key, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Smooth, your thoughts real quick.
This, we say it all the time, this was one of those high-stakes games. And this is a game that will probably decide who has what home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Probably they both sit right now with one loss apiece. Sean Payton, what he was able to do offensively, the level of creativity that each sort of approaches what they do offensively with is amazing. And, you know, the Rams, they had no answer for it. Aqib Talib, he was mentioned earlier on. He's a missing piece, and I think he's such a key piece to that defense because he was in Wade Phillips' system in Denver. And once he gets back, he's a guy, he'll be able to help Marcus Peters because obviously we've seen Marcus Peters. He's not he's not a shutdown corner. I think some of it has to do with him being hurt also. I don't think he's completely 100%. But once you get Aqib Talib back, he's a guy who can – I don't think any corner can take away a part of the field these days, considering, you know, the way offense is played and how the rules are bent in their favor. But Aqib Talib is, in my mind, still an elite corner who can play, I would say, the best receiver on another team. And in this case, he could have been, I don't think anybody can defend Alvin Kamara, but I think he could have been useful in that situation. The Rams, they don't have any speed. Their linebacking core is probably the weakest part of their defense. I think Dumpkin to Aaron Donald, who was unstoppable on Sunday. Dante Fowler, they're still working him in. And who's the other kid that they signed recently? I think of his name. Not another linebacker or defensive end. But I think if you're the Rams, it's good to get a loss in early on. I think this may end up helping them to see an opponent as good as the Saints were. And if you're the Saints, Michael Thomas, I've said numerous times, is the newest, the baddest receiver in the league.
All right, where are we putting him at? Real quick, where are we putting him at?
As long as Drew Brees is throwing to him, he's, to me, top five.
Yeah. He in the top five.
Yeah. Top five.
Top five, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Give y'all something to think about. You know Kansas City traded up to get Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, it did.
You know the team that really, 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 really wanted him, but they couldn't make the move to get him. Kansas City traded up and gave up a lot because they knew this team wanted him bad. Do y'all know which team that was?
Saints.
The New Orleans Saints. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine. Why can I imagine?
Because of Stevie J's.
Because he played, both of them played with the Stevie J's. Yeah. I can imagine, believe me.
But him and Kamara for, you know, the next 10, 12 years?
Some serious.
Yeah, that's scary.
But Cheetah and Patrick Mahomes ain't bad either.
No.
Yeah.
And the running back.
Kareem Hunt.
That's, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big.
That's big.
IG, real quick, what you got on the shootout?
The key thing that I saw is that neither team had a sack. And it really came down to turnovers. Each team only had one turnover. So you may think, well, it's going to come down to whoever has the ball last. But I think that the experience of the Saints was, well, more of their quarterback. They've got this figured out. And they got it figured out pretty quick of what to do with how to use Kamara. And if you're able to throw any receiver who gets 12 catches in a game on a defense that's supposed to be good, they've got something figured out. That defense has something to figure out. Michael Thomas, he had 12 catches, and this is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league. There were times where, I think on a touchdown, Marcus Peters completely lost him. There was some miscommunication or something. So the Rams see what they have to fix. The Saints have this figured out right now. So the Rams have some stuff to work on still.
Yeah. I'd like to see Talib come back because, like you said, when you do have a corner that you say is a shutdown, you put him on one receiver, which frees up a safety.
Yeah.
Which you don't have to if you're not going to play over the top, so he can come down in the box and you can help out on the other receiver. You can play underneath Peters and allow him to play off that receiver, the one we were talking about. So those are going to be keys. Talib will come back and help that defense because you'll say, okay, get him. And we're not going to worry about that side.
So. Yeah, because they're all playing out of position. I think it also helps Sam Shields, another big-time free agent that they traded for him.
Right. So here's our NBA thing. Fellas on Facebook, ladies who, I don't want to leave you out either. But we always talk about the real superstars, this the Steph, the Durants, the LeBrons, those guys who are head guys. But, you know, me and Hand always talks about the next guy, like the second, third year guy. Who do you want to... Who can you identify to be that guy if he got that third or fourth year guy that you've seen improvement with and things of that nature? So, got me to thinking, and I came up with some comparison. So, now the NBA talk is, at this particular point, who would you take? Jamal Murray or Zach LaVine? Murray is in his third year. LaVine is in his fifth year, and at the moment, Zach LaVine is averaging 27.9, and Jamal Murray is averaging 18.9. So basically, 28 points and 19 points a game. Jamal Murray is playing the point with Gary Harris running the two guard. For some reason, they got Zach LaVine listed as a point guard, but basically, he's the shooting guard, and Chris Dunn is supposed to be the point guard, or Cameron Payne, or whoever the case may be. So, Hand, who you taking?
I'm taking LaVine, and I told you when you and I were talking, I said he was the guy that was going to pop because I could say, you could just see he has the talent. He always had the athleticism, but it was about him wanting to take his game to another level and become more consistent shooting and just getting a team where, okay, you the guy. And Chicago understood that and said, okay, we're going to make you the centerpiece. I've been watching him all season, and the other night against New York, he's coming. He's growing into that guy. And averaging 28 ain't easy in the NBA, and he's doing it. I mean, he has the light, and that's the difference between he and Murray right now is that Murray can go, they'll take the chains off and let him go every now and then, but every night LaVine got the green light. But yeah, I'm with Zach LaVine. I think he's ready. He's coming.
All right, Smooth.
Yeah, I agree. For me, he has a higher ceiling. And when Minnesota did trade him, I thought it was a bad trade. I know he was coming off the ACL tear, and you know they made the decision to move on. But I mean, this is a guy who can score in multiple ways. He gets to the cup. He shoots three well. Has a solid mid range game. Offensively, he can do pretty much everything that you need him to.
35% from three.
35%? Well, improving.
Yeah, well, it's better than Murray. Murray only shoots 31.
Yeah.
So.
So, Jamal Murray, on his end, he has a well-rounded game as well. as Hancock pointed out, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Denver. Nikola Jokic, Will Barton had to play. He's out. But it's
Gary Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Mills out.
A few more. So there's a lot of mouths to feed. He doesn't have as much opportunity. But Zach LaVine, he's a guy. I mean, there's no ceiling. It seems that way, at least at this point.
All right, G, who you got?
I would take LaVine. Even though Murray is on a better team, as you said, like there are other, he has a better team around him. Right. He simply does. They're 9-1 right now. But with LaVine, he's a guy, you see that he's clearly a guy you can build around. And I think if they don't regret it already, Minnesota regrets trading Zach LaVine. They're probably thinking, well, maybe in trading for Jimmy Butler, we should have traded Wiggins. They were in the same draft. They kind of played the same position as far as being a wing player, even though Zach LaVine does have point guard skills. I think he's a... I felt he was going to be like the next Westbrook.
Right.
That's how I thought he played. Not just because they both went to UCLA, but that's, I saw their playing style. But this is what I thought Zach LaVine could be as far as how he's playing right now. You just had to give him an opportunity. I feel like in Minnesota, he didn't really have it because him and Wiggins were kind of used the same way.
Right. They tried to make him a point guard in Minnesota before they went and got Rich Carter.
They haven't solved that point guard problem yet. They played six different guys at point guard.
He got some baby McGrady tendencies to me.
Yeah.
I see some McGrady in his game, and I like it.
Athletically, he's off the charts.
Everybody on Facebook saying LaVine, and I just LaVine can get to the cup. He shoots it better. Jamal is a better free throw shooter, but one would think that if LaVine had a better team, would he still be that guy? And we see Jamal is with a better team,
and
he's still and they coming. So one would say, with a better team, would he still be that guy? Go ahead, Smooth. I know you had something.
Just one last thing to throw in there. What about Devin Booker? Would he be in this conversation? Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
He's surprised. He's better in the NBA than I thought he was going to be. To be honest with you.
He's in this conversation.
He's a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk. Yeah, maybe we need to prepare something next week. Maybe a Booker and Mitchell.
Yeah. We need to talk about some steals, too, because that Trier kid in New York is beginning to get my eye.
Yeah.
He's a steal, undrafted rookie kid. Yeah. Ball.
We got some NBA stuff coming up next week.
And but with Booker, the Suns need some adults. They need some more adults on that team.
And they thought they would
get then we'll be paying more attention to Booker.
Yeah. Exactly. So before we go, I know it's time to wrap it up, but I do have a question real quick. Is this the worst or the least excitement that you've seen the Heisman race in college football?
Yeah.
Oh, did we forget about it? Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the worst because even though like Tua is in the lead, I think, to win, we're not really, I know that's probably not something Alabama does, but I feel like the media should be hyping that up, but they're probably tired about seeing Alabama winning so much.
And I know the 2-point conversion for West Virginia probably punch the ticket for Will Greer to go to New York.
He's going, but it's going to be a little shout in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because he's putting up some numbers.
And the thing about it, this is the least hype that I've seen or not seen in a while for the Heisman. So that is real that is real strange. So I don't even know how to take that. But just thought I'd mention that and just to see what you guys think. It's time to wrap things up as you hear that music. And before we get out of here, I want to give a shout out, obviously, to the big guy above who continues to provide us and allow us to do this thing here each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Thanks for the crew for doing your thing, dropping it in and dropping nuggets, coming through the rain, and I'm pretty sure it was traffic. Shout out to all the everybody on Facebook Live. Shout out to everybody who listened, tuned in the show on the Real 1100, SRT Radio, iHeart, TuneIn. We really appreciate it. I know Marty said, I forgot about the Heisman Trophy. Exactly. It's easy to forget about when it's not even talked about. So shout out to everybody, man. And hey, we're going to do it again next week, man, because it's fire.
Yeah, shout out to everybody out there on Facebook listening. Marty, my cuz, hang in there, baby. Shout out to everybody that we know back in Memphis. I already said that, didn't I?
Nah, yeah.
Shout out home, folks.
All right, Smooth.
Yeah. Shout out to the entire crew, all the tenants, everybody listening on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you might be, iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And that's it.
Yeah, shout out to all the tenants. Shout out to the crew here. If you watched on Facebook Live, share the video, like the page. Word of mouth always helps to spread the word about the greatest sports talk show on the radio.
There it is, my man. And man, it is. We'd say, we still got hope as far as the
keep
election.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope
keep
alive.
Keep hope alive, baby.
So we're going to continue to keep hope alive, and we're going to continue to strive and do better things and great things. So with that being said, you already know how we do it. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the hottest, and as G says, the greatest sports show on earth right now today. Hey, let's roll.
Boogie. I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth. This is my man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't.
If your best asset is always solving problems, you might need to do something else.
We out. Peace.